The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
So we have been on a journey together this month, and next month we're going to start a journey in the Gospel of Mark, but we're going to close up with some Proverbs, and today we're going to look at the simpleton. And that is one of the fools of Proverbs that we will discover. Wisdom is skillful living that honors God. That's what we have said, and we have discovered that it is true. You might remember that the word for wisdom was used of skilled craftsmen who helped build the tabernacle. And so skillful living that honors God is our little working definition of wisdom. Now, the word fool is a very harsh word, and we should be very careful in using the word fool. Look at what Jesus said, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. That is a very strong statement, isn't it? When you use the word fool and you find it in the Proverbs, it's not speaking of someone's aptitude intellectually, it's talking about their moral condition. And so to call someone a fool is to condemn them to the judgment of God. That's a very strong statement. That's why we may say someone's acting foolishly, but we should be very careful about calling someone a fool. It's a very, very strong statement. And we find that to be true in the Proverbs as well. Now, as I said, a folly is not an intellectual evaluation, but a moral one. On the scale in Proverbs of fools, okay, the least foolish is the simpleton, and the most foolish is the mocker. And in between, we have three other words for fools that I just want to cover really quickly. I wish I had time to go through all of these, but obviously we don't, because we're going to concentrate on the simple. One fool that appears 50 times, kasil. And here's a verse where it's used. As a dog returns to its vomit, the most disgusting picture you can think of, so fools repeat their folly. A kasil. This person is very obstinate. They're very dull in their choices, and they make poor choices. And they keep making poor choices. And that's why they're more foolish than the simple one. Here's another one. Ewill, which was used 19 times. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent and discerning if they hold their tongues. So this fool also, as you study it in Proverbs, is someone whose stupidity is seen in their stubbornness. And it's a very, very sad and harsh thing. They are more foolish, again, than the simple one. The last word that appears in the Proverbs is the word Nabal. And this is a very foolish person. A person with an extra amount of foolishness and a very closed mind, okay? So Nabal, the fool, Nabal says in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. This is a very strong statement. You might remember David ran into a guy by the name of Nabal. Fortunately, he had a wife by the name of Abigail that helped, but Nabal was very, very foolish. Now, the most foolish in the book of Proverbs is the mocker. Or the scorner. It's the word less in Hebrew, 17 times. The proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury. Wow. They condemn everybody. That's what a mocker does. They just criticize and condemn everybody else. Now, here's some other places where a mocker is found. Drive out the mocker and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. A mocker just stirs up trouble, continues to stir up trouble, and even blasphemes God is the implication of the word. That's why the mocker is the most foolish of the fools. Mockers stir up a city, but the wise turn away anger. Great contrast there of the mocker. He, that is God, mocks proud mockers. Wow, that's a harsh statement, isn't it, huh? God mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. Oh, may we be humble. May we not drift so into foolishness to become like the mocker. But today, we're going to be looking, and I have a lot of slides, and I got a lot of verses, and I try to put a lot in your notes, okay? So, buckle in. Who is the patient? The patient in Hebrew is called peti. It occurs 15 times. It's translated simple in many translations. It also, in the New American Standard, is translated naive one. Okay? So as you study the word, you see one who is so open-minded that they are easily enticed and deceived. That's the simple one. That's why they are the least foolish. There's still hope. That's what we're going to see as we study it. But they are dangerous. I mean, because they're so open-minded, they can easily be persuaded into sin. In the very first chapter, when Solomon is introducing the theme of wisdom, he says, "My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit,' we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us, we will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil, they're swift to shed blood." So you see that Solomon is warning his sons to beware of simple ways. Generally speaking, when it's linked to age, it's a younger person. Chapter 1 and verse 4, "For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young." And then again in chapter 7, "I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense." So the simple one often is young. But let's be honest, we're all naive. We all have some spots that we're simple in, and we need advice, and we need the wisdom of God. We need the working of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us to the truth so that we can make wise choices and not foolish ones. In fact, as I studied this, I discovered in Psalm 116, hear this word from the Lord. "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy." Been there? Yeah, got into trouble, cried out for mercy. "Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live." How many times through tough circumstances have we learned to rely on the Lord, right? I mean, that happens. That's happened in our lives. "The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave overcame me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary." The simple. The simple. We've all been naive. We've all been inexperienced. And the Lord rescued us. "When I was brought low, he saved me." So again, we got to be careful that we're not just thinking of some younger person for this message. It's for all of us. And all of us have had some inexperienced ways and been naive in ways that was very dangerous. So what are the attitudes of this patient? Well, the simple believe anything. They're just gullible. They'll believe anything. They'll believe anybody. That's why they're so easily persuaded. That's why it's one thing to have one simple person, but if you have a group of simpletons, the trouble they can get into, the lies they believe, the sorrow and pain and danger that can come. And it's because of their simple ways. But the prudent give thought to their steps. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? Oh, I'm just inexperienced. I don't know any better. I couldn't help myself. Love your simple ways. Grow up. Get some wisdom. Seek God for it. Because God is generous and he gives wisdom to all who cry out to him. But to just plead that I'm inexperienced, I didn't know better, is not a good appeal. How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Folly brings joy to one who has no sense. Have you ever heard simpletons gathering together and boasting about their sins? Celebrating things that were foolish. Now, I know you've never been in that crowd. I know. But again, this is sobering, isn't it? I mean, it really is when we look at it. But whoever has understanding keeps a straight course. The contrast is very great. What are the symptoms? The simple inherit folly. Oof. You see, for the simple one, things are getting worse. They're inheriting more folly. They're believing more lies, and it's taking them down a dangerous path. If we were to summarize this, most often they're younger, they lack discretion and discernment. They're so open-minded, they can be dangerous to themselves and to others. They're empty-headed and are likely to pursue sin without thought for the consequences. And they are easily influenced by others, either for evil or for good. They're just as likely to make a good choice as a bad one, and that's what we need to pray for. That's what we need to pray in our inexperience, in our naive states or situations, because there is hope. There's hope in maturity. There's hope in the working of the Holy Spirit in life, because time alone will not mature the simpleton. They need more. And that's why it says they inherit folly. Here's another attitude or symptom. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. It's just the shocking. This looks like most of the movies that they make in Hollywood today. Oh, we're not done with that either. Here's the New Living Translation of that same verse. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. So you're getting the picture, right? Inexperienced, possibly young, naive, and in danger. The prudent sees danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. There, he said it again. He said it once, he said it twice as a warning for the symptoms of the simpleton. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. The waywardness, this is a very interesting word, waywardness. It's deliberately turning away from advice and from God. Okay, it's a deliberate choice. It actually is the word used for apostasy in the Hebrew. So it's turning away from God, turning away. And he says that kind of action for the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Complacency, like, I don't care. I just don't care. Oh, it's such a sad thing when you hear somebody say that or act like that. It's a sad thing when it comes upon us. We need to always care. God cares. And we're living for his glory and for his honor. And that's why we're not overcautious, as we said, Tim Keller said, but we're not also overconfident. We understand we need wisdom. We need it from God. Because we want to be walking in the truth. We want to skillfully be living and honoring him. Now, I'm turning to Proverbs chapter 7, and I'm going to read you the story of a simpleton, all right? Now, you probably read this, because on the 7th, you read this chapter, I know. Anyway, this is quite a long story that Solomon observed of one who was simple. At the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. And we're going to find out who this her is in just a moment. But it's like he's just walking along, you know, whistling maybe. And at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night sets in, notice the timing. It's at the night. It's in the darkness. And here she comes. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home, now in the street, now in the squares. At every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him. Woohoo! The simple said, "Man, I got a kiss! Woohoo!" With a brazen face, she said. You see this played out, and then you'll feel sorry for the gal and for the simple one. Today, she's a religious girl. "Today, I fulfilled my vows, and I have food from my fellowship offering at home. So I came out to meet you." I doubt it. She went out to meet anybody. He just happened to be the one crossing in front of her house. "I looked for you and have found you." Oh, so romantic. "I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us drink deeply of love till morning. Let us enjoy ourselves with love." It's not love. All right? "My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon." With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Boy, that's quite a story, isn't it? And it ends with danger, sorrow. So what's the prescription? What are we going to do to help this simple one? For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Giving prudence. Now, we talked about this the first sermon in this series. Prudence is being shrewd in a good way. It's making good choices and understanding how to make good choices. The knowledge is the knowledge of God and of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We said that about wisdom. And discretion is having a sense of purpose, eternal purpose. Really a reason to be alive, right? And to serve the Lord. That's the purpose that God would want us. That's the wise choice. And then in chapter 8 and verse 5, he says, "You who are simple, gain prudence." There it is. "You are foolish, set your hearts on it." This word is translated prudence here, but it means that distinction, that ability to make wise choices, to know the difference between good, better, and best. And of course, to know the difference between evil and what is good. You see, time is not the friend of the simple one. Time alone isn't going to do it. There's going to be more effort and more input into his life. In fact, with time alone, things might just get worse without wisdom. So how do we deliver the medicine? I'm glad you asked. Flog a mocker, and the simple will learn prudence. That's a very interesting statement. Remember, the mocker is much more foolish. And if a simple one sees someone who went down the road further in foolishness get punished, it might waken them up. See, every adult in a room, every parent needs to remember this. You watch some celebrity and they destroy their life with mockery. And you say to your kids, "Hey, you see, that's where that road ends. Be wise. Don't go down that road." See, that's what Solomon's teaching us here. And it really is a great principle. Rebuke the discerning and they will gain knowledge. You know, in contrast, if you rebuke someone who is ready to learn, they'll gain knowledge. How about this one? When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. There he said it again. Isn't Solomon something? He repeats himself because he wants us to hear it. By paying attention to the wise, they get knowledge. So you see, it's not just seeing the mocker punished, but also paying attention, see, to the wise. The simple can gain knowledge. They can grow up. They can mature. All of us have been simple. We didn't grow up overnight. We're still in process, aren't we, huh? There's still some naive places that need to be corrected in our lives. And God will help us. That's why he's telling us this so well. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. The rod of Musar, we talked about Musar, correction. That authority from God's word of correction. The shepherd used the rod to beat off enemies, and the enemy of our souls is sin. And God will use his word to help us to put away with folly and foolishness. Here's Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes, the commands of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. What's true today from God's word will be true tomorrow. These are eternal truths. And that's why there is such value in the word of God, the testimonies of God, because they are reliable. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Isn't that amazing? The word of God is so alive that it judges our very thoughts, our very attitudes. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The word of God and the spirit of God work together to give wisdom to the simple. Hallelujah. This is a miracle process. We're all in it. We haven't arrived yet. Nobody's got all the wisdom. We're in process. Here's another complementary truth. The unfolding of your words gives light, enlightenment. It gives understanding to the simple. Yep. It's by the illuminating power of God that we understand his word. It's not just by reading it or even studying it. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit making it alive to us and teaching us and then empowering us to obey it. So I'm going to call in the expert, okay? We're now to the application part. You thought, Pastor Rick, you've been going on and on. And now we're to the application part, all right? We don't normally do it this way, but this is the way. And I'm going to call in J.I. Packer, okay? J.I. Packer, Knowing God. I told you I've been reading this book written in 1973. I'm so glad I started reading it again. And he's got a great chapter on getting guidance, because that's what the simple one needs, but that's what we all need. So we're going to conclude with this. He says, wisdom is the knowledge of a course of action that will please God and secure life. That's what wisdom is. Now, that sounds pretty similar to what our definition has been. Some people doubt the availability of guidance, that God will guide. You know, the agnostic says maybe God exists, but he doesn't really interact. Oh, yes, he does. He's very interested in your life and mine. And if you don't believe that God can guide, then maybe you don't believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because he was given to us to be a guide, to help us. And he uses the word as well. All guidance is for the glory of God. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. When I get it right, it's for his glory. Right? Amen. You know that word, paths of righteousness, is actually a rut in the original. There are righteous ruts. Find it. Live in it. Yeah, for his name's sake. That's really the key. You see, now he goes on, Packer does, to explain there's a danger in the notion and nature and method of God delivering his truth to us only by inward feelings. How many times have you met people? They say, oh, but I had this feeling. And the feeling, you know, like, I had this feeling I should go rob a bank. That didn't come from God. All right? I had this feeling. But it wasn't from God. So there's a danger if we rely only on our feelings. Okay? That's the danger. Now, does God give me feelings? Of course he does. Have you sometimes had peace about a decision? Yeah. But you also had your Bible open. Like I said, you didn't plan to rob a bank. We must include the written word, the revealed word of God, and let that be our guide. How shall a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, there's that connection in Psalm 119. Same truth. Now, he talks about vocational choices, and I found this very interesting. Like, what car should I drive? By the way, my transmission's going in a car. I hate buying a car. Anyway. What car should I drive? What house should I live in? Who should I marry? What job should I take? All those kind of vocational choices. And he talks about some roadblocks. And I found this very helpful. That's why I'm concluding the sermon with it. One roadblock is the unwillingness to think. There's a false piety that the only time God's speaking to me is when I have a feeling. Listen, have you had to make some tough choices in life and you knew it was the right one, but you didn't feel so good about it? Of course you did. That's why you didn't cheat on your taxes. Thank you. You see, we need to keep thinking. An unwillingness to think ahead. We don't weigh the long-term consequences. I think it was Chuck Swindoll said, just because the door's open, you don't have to walk through it. How many times have I counseled with people who said, well, God didn't close the door. But listen, God didn't open the door for that either. When I look at the word, you see, this is very practical. Unwillingness to take advice. Be careful about that. God brought wise people into your life. You can rely for some advice. It's a good thing. In fact, Proverbs talks about how important it can be. Now, here's one that really catches my eye. Unwillingness to suspect yourself. Because your heart is deceitful, Jeremiah tells us, and who can know it? Feelings can spring from my ego boasting. Or, as he writes, self-indulgence. We must detect and discredit such sins. Suspect yourself. Be suspicious of your feelings alone. And then finally, an unwillingness to wait on the Lord. God's not in a hurry. He's not in as big a hurry as you are. And sometimes the right thing to do is to wait on the Lord. Now that's active. That's not just waiting and doing nothing. If you don't have a job, go out and seek a job and fill out some paperwork and all those kinds of things, you see? I think it was Elizabeth Elliot. She said, God can't steer a parked car. And she was right. So it's important that we keep taking steps, that we make decisions. We do it with our Bibles open and our hearts open to God, and we're praying, and we are aware of our feelings, but we're also aware of what God's written truth says. And really, many times, the next step is the most logical thing to do. You know, the very next thing is just the wise thing to do. The very next logical step is the right thing to do, that God is leading you and guiding you. Now, he concludes this chapter with something I wanted to leave you, and this is going to be one of those things you're going to scratch your head, you're going to think about it later, it's okay. I think it's a beautiful thing. Sooner or later, God's guidance, which brings you out of darkness into light, will also bring us out of light into darkness. Now, he's not talking about being confused about God's will, but sometimes God leads us into harsh circumstances. When we start Mark, we're going to see Jesus be led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Too many people think, if things are going bad, I must have made the wrong choice. Maybe not. Maybe you made the wise choice. You made the right choice. And God put you in that situation so you will draw close to him. And through the hardships of the way of the cross, it's part of the way of the cross, he says, you'll grow closer to the Lord. Boy, that's good stuff. So make wise choice and trust the consequences to God. That's what Joseph did when he ran away from Potiphar's wife. That was a wise choice. He ended up in prison. Daniel did, and he prayed each day, and then he ended up in the lion's den. And David did when he faced Goliath. He did win that battle with the Lord's help. How about Esther? She did, and she saved all the Jewish people. It's amazing. Make the wise choice. Most of the time, we know what the wise choice is. We've been walking with the Lord long enough. We kind of have a sense of what the wise choice is. Make it and trust the consequences to God. All right. Let's live a blessed and blessable life of wisdom. And by the way, keep reading one chapter each day of the book of Proverbs until we get done on July 31st. Dear Father, thank you for giving us wisdom today. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that there's hope for inexperience, for those seasons and difficulties that we're naive about. We just don't know what to do. Lord, fill us with your truth. Lead us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be aware of our feelings and to be suspicious of them sometimes so that we will make the wise choice and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.